Good morning, guys. Good to be back with you. You didn't know I'd be back this week, did you? You got to put up with me one more time. But I'm glad to be here. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, God, for this day. We thank you, for God, for your presence. We want to be in your presence all the time, God, filled with your Spirit. Just praying, God, that your Spirit will move in our hearts today. Teach us, God, your word. Teach us your way, your wills. God, may your word be powerful and evident to us today, Lord. I pray, God, for you to move. Move in my heart. Thank you for each one here today. Thank you for my brother, Pastor Justin, and his wife and family, Lord. I thank you, God, for him, and I thank you, God, for his love for this place we call Warwick Baptist Church and all the flock he's in charge of. Bless him. But God, we just want you to move in our hearts today as we seek to be who you want us to be and seek to be the church that you call us to be, Lord. Help us to build on what we've been hearing from you lately, these past weeks, Lord. And I ask you again, just take charge. Get me out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. I would give you a quiz and ask you what we talked about last week. But you don't remember, do you? Dennis has got it. Great Commission. We've been talking about the purpose of the church. We talked about, as Justin talked about and preached about loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, loving your neighbor. Two major commandments, two major essentials for the church. Two purposes of the church that you must have to be a New Testament church. Last week we talked about, and he talked about being a witness, and we talked about sharing our faith, the Great Commission, what we're called to do, another command. Talked about those mandates. These are mandates from God to the church that we want to love him, worship him, love one another, and love the community, and go share the good news. What was the good news? Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ, who came as a baby, was born to go to a cross and die for our sins, to pay the penalty in full for us so we could have eternal life, the abundant life. And we talked about two main components of sharing the gospel was his death, and really his burial, and his resurrection. Must be shared. People need to know about what Jesus did. And we need to be able to share that gospel with this world that desperately needs it. Amen? You think what's going on in our world today? What is the answer? We talked about we have the antidote. We have the answer for the turmoil in this world. There's only one hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. There's only one message, that Jesus Christ loves you, died for you, went to the cross, shed his blood for the remission of your sins, and went to that tomb, and 3 days later he rose from the grave. Hallelujah! We're getting into Easter. And that's where we're at, looking at those purposes of the church. And it's important that we get back to that. What I'm sharing today with you is pretty basic stuff. Terry's last week, church has gone through a pandemic the last couple of years. Struggling churches are. Praise God you're here today. Amen? Amen. You made it so far. But one thing about it is we're all headed to heaven. We're all going to spend eternity somewhere, and you must know where that is. Amen? Amen. Today I want to pick up on where we left off last week. To share about that ending of that Great Commission was what? Remember that we are to go share, but we are to what? Make disciples. We are commanded to make disciples. This church is about discipleship. It's about evangelism. It's about loving people. It's about loving God. Amen? Got to do it, guys. There's a lot of people I talk about we don't love too well today. Amen? But God says we are to love them. We are the light of the world. We're in this dark world, but we dispel that darkness with our lives. Because we got who? Jesus. We're filled with the Spirit of God. We just sung a song in His presence. The Holy Spirit just take charge. Amen? You want the presence of God. But also we have to be aware there's an evil one out there that doesn't like us, that's trying to attack us. I heard three sermons this morning on Satan. David Jeremiah preached on it, Jensen Franklin preached on it, and a guy in Richmond preached on it. I'm like, whoa, God, everybody's on the same plane. Well, I'm not going to preach about the devil today. He's real. I'll tell you about him. He's out there. But I am going to tell you that Jesus is coming. We're in some times that we as children of God should recognize what's going on around us, that things are happening pretty fast. And that my whole thing is about, we need to get ready. The church needs to be ready. Amen. Pastor Justin's trying to get you ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We're going to be taken out of here one day. Can you imagine what this world's going to be like without Christians? Boom, gone. 7 years. Then he's going to come back for all his children. But we ought to be ready, alert, and watching. Doing God's work, kingdom building, making disciples. We were talking about it a minute ago. At 11:33 is the official time of what? Spring. Today is the first day of spring. We were talking about earlier how we, our people are fixing their gardens up there, just digging up the ground and cultivating and planting new things. The trees are blooming, the flowers are blooming. I love this time of year. It's perfect weather for me. I love it before it gets real hot, but I love the renewal. I love how God has put this in the process of things becoming green. Things die out and come back, unless I plant them. I told my brothers back there, my mother-in-law, she can stick her finger in the ground, it's going to grow something. And she gives me stuff, it don't grow. I kill about everything she gives me, and she just shakes her head at me. And I'm like, well, some people have that gift. But it's like our lives. We are to grow spiritually. And if you're going to be about disciple-making, you got to be first a disciple. You got to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that takes work. It takes work. You have to do your part. Sometimes we think we just sit back and God's going to do it. No, He expects you to do your part. That is why He has blessed you and gifted you with many talents and abilities and resources to build His kingdom. Every one of you are part of Work Baptist Church have a gift. You have an ability. You have a reason for being part of the fellowship. You make up the body of Christ. Amen? Thank you for you guys that serve. Praise God for you. Some of you not serving, you need to get busy. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're not serving, you're disobedient to what God's called you, because He has blessed you to be a blessing to others. That's our responsibility. Just like we talked about last week, our responsibility is to share the gospel. Remember I said there were, that pastor said there were two reasons why most people don't share? Because deep down in your heart, you really don't believe it. That'll hit you. Or deep down, you really don't love people. Why you don't share the gospel? He said he looked for another reason. There was no other reason. I'm like, makes sense. If we really got it deep down in our heart, and we really believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we will share it. It's our responsibility to share it with this world that needs it desperately. I said, if you had the antidote and the cure for cancer, you not to hold on to it, you want to share it. If not, you'd be selfish, it'd be immoral, it'd be wrong. And there are things to help. But the greatest thing is, a need is sin. It needs to be healed. It needs to be forgiven. Amen? And the only way it's forgiven is through Christ, and Christ alone. You can't earn it, you can't work for it. You can't buy it. It's a free gift from a holy and righteous God that loved us so much. And we ought to share that good news. Do you really deep down believe in the gospel? Do you believe this word we talked about? That's between you and God. I can't say you do or don't. I can look at your life and say, well, he ain't living like you're supposed to. Maybe you don't know him. People don't like that. People don't like the answer I just gave. Deep down in your heart, you really don't believe the word of God. Because if you really believed it, then you live it out and share it. It's what this world has to hear. I challenged you last week, if you just took and prayed for one person that you know is lost to get saved and just kept praying for them and working on them, maybe next year this time they'd be sitting by you. Called multiplication. Amen? Churches that multiply. That's what they did. They grew. So with that said, I want us to look at, again today, part of that ending part in the Great Commission. Because we ought to cultivate. To cultivate, you got to do what? You got to dig it up. You got to pull them weeds out of it. You got to prepare that soil. You got to fertilize it. It's just like our lives. We get junk in our lives, don't we? I'm constantly having to re-examine. That's why he tells us in Romans 12 to renew our minds. Don't be like this world, but renew your minds with the knowledge of God. We need to clean out the junk. Garbage in, garbage out. You heard me say that before? Well, cultivation. We're in a season of cultivation. And I believe the church is in a season of cultivation, a season where we have to renew ourselves. Your pastor wants to do, revitalize, refire it up, whatever you want to call it, but renewal. And we as Christians have to constantly be renewing ourselves because we live in a fallen world. It affects us. It influences us. That's why we must be students of the Word. Must do these things in the purpose of the church because they help us to grow and to mature in our faith. And I want to talk about to cultivate, to grow, to be like who? What's the Bible say? Christ. We ought to be Christ-like. Christ-like. My wife and I were talking about this evil guy that's over there in Russia, Putin. He's evil. Don't like him, but you know what he needs? He needs Jesus. It's the only hope. Will he get it? I don't know, but I have a responsibility as a child of God to pray for him. I have to love him with the love of Jesus. Don't mean I like him. A lot of people. But we have this responsibility to pray for these leaders of these countries, even our leader in this country. They desperately need us, right? Need somebody praying for them. How many of y'all still doing the prayer thing for your neighborhoods? Nobody answers. I do it every day. Praise God. And I prayed this morning because I'm on the seven-day thing. But as I go to that list, I'm like, this morning, these people don't know I'm praying for them. But they got somebody praying for them. You think that makes a difference in their lives? Absolutely. That's why it's so important that we keep it up. It's easy to back off. I didn't want to go to 7 days. I went to 5 days. Now, take a 7 day pray. I'm going to pray anyway. But well, I pray for those people. Share, hoping they'll hear the gospel message, to hear the good news, to hear about a Savior that died on the cross for them that rose again. Easter's coming. Great time of celebration for us. Are you ready? Prepared? Well, if somebody asks you what Easter's about, what are you going to say? Oh, it's a good time for candy. The Easter Bunny. No, it's about Jesus. It's a great time for us as Christians. Excited about what he did for us because without that, we wouldn't even be here today. But we ought to cultivate our lives. We ought to grow our lives. We are responsible for growing and maturing in our faith, and we have to work at that. And that's part of the purpose of the church is really the ministry of cultivation. It's the ministry of growing spiritually. I'm not talking about plants, but I'm talking about you spiritually growing. Growing your walk, your life. Are you growing? You maturing? Bearing fruit? Sharing the gospel? 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We are saved by God's grace, and we need to grow in that grace. Growing in a grace means growing in your understanding that you are accepted by God, not on the basis of your performance as a Christian, but on the basis of what Christ did and Christ did alone. Amen? Understand that. Some people think once they get saved, that just gives them a license to do whatever you want to do. Yeah, I got it. I'm heaven bound. No, it doesn't work that way. When you grow in grace and you grow in Christ, you no longer want to do those things that you used to do. Your life changes. You don't have a license to sin because of your love for Jesus. And the more you grow and the more you get into that word, the more you don't want to do those things, because we are made in his image, but also we ought to become like Jesus. And everything we do ought to be Christ-like. We represent him. So this world needs to see Christ in us, right? You got to be growing and maturing and growing in that grace. Got to grow, and it says, in the knowledge of Christ. Your pastor comes and he preaches every Sunday. Your Sunday school teacher comes and teaches you every Sunday. Your kids' leaders teach you. But let me tell you, that's not enough. You have a personal responsibility, because you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that you ought to get to know. And you need to grow daily. You need to spend the time in there. That's why the church is, part of the reason the church is weak today, because lack of knowledge. And we have so much of it. So many resources. It's crazy, but some have said the church is pretty ignorant. I'm like, that's pretty sad. Shouldn't be that way. That's why we must be equipping ourselves to become disciples of Christ so we can make disciples. We have to be strong in our faith today. You've got to know where you stand on the Word of God as a child of God. More to it than just coming down and saying, hey, yes to Jesus. Because I told you last week, when Jesus comes into your life, you're radically saved, you're born again, you're no longer the same. That old junk is gone. That's why you put the newness in there. If you fill it with junk, you got junk. But you got to fill it with the good stuff. Fill it with the Word of God. Your pastor wants you to grow, to mature. That's why he equips you to do the work you're called him to do. Spend that time. You need to pray for your pastor. Right? Pray for him. Constantly. The battle is on. But we need to grow. And let me ask you, are you growing? Are you growing as a Christian? If you're not growing and there's no desire to grow, then you need to examine yourself. You need to check yourself out. Man, am I really a believer? Because if you got the power, we talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you got the Holy Spirit living in you, there's a desire to grow. Should be a desire to, for the Word of God. Should be a desire to use your gifts. It's just part of it. Because you've been changed. You've been transformed. You're no longer the same. Have I really turned from my sins and turned to him? If you haven't grown, then there's definitely a reason there why you're not growing. And you can't grow as a Christian until you first become a Christian. There must be spiritual life before there's even spiritual growth. Listen, so when you talk about growth and about cultivation. We're talking about cultivating that spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. Your Pastor Justin's desire is that you mature in your walk. You grow in that walk. Paul wrote in Colossians 3:28, him we proclaim, warning everybody, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That maturity, perfect, fully grown, complete, finished. There's a sense in which none of us will be finished growing yet as the Christians. We're not going to completely finish until we get to heaven. You hadn't arrived yet. Some people think they arrived, but you ain't arrived. I fall from arriving yet. But what he's talking about, we are to be maturing and growing in our faith constantly. Constantly re-examining our walk until we're taken home. Mature. They're young believers, they're mature believers. That's part of being a disciple of Christ and being a disciple maker, is because if you're a newborn baby, you don't know. You desire the milk. Comes the point you want the potatoes and the meat. Same thing in our walk. We are mature. A mature Christian is seasoned. As a mature Christian, the things that we have experienced and gone through, we should grow in the Word, but there are trials and suffering and temptations and things that we battle. And as we mature in our faith, we win victory over that. And God can take that and use it to help babes in Christ. Amen? It's called discipleship. What I know, I praise God for the people that disciple me. And I still got people discipling me. Still encouraging me, still teaching me, still pushing me to know, to learn through it all. But let me tell you, as a mature Christian, we are to mentor others that are just babes in Christ that need nothing. Sometimes we as mature Christians forget about those babes in Christ. It's like, why are they acting like that? Well, they don't know anybody. And we ought to love them and help them and teach them through it. It's part of the process of growing. Right? You understand what discipleship is? Pouring into someone's life. Helping them through life. Teaching them about the Bible. Teaching them about God's forgiveness. Teaching them about how to walk. How to battle temptation. You know. The sad thing about it is that a lot of people are not maturing, they're not growing. I've had people in my churches before, been in the church 50, 60 years, and having grown. I'm like, what a sad thing. Pastor, will you go witness to my grandchild? Tell them about Jesus, they need to get baptized. I'm like, what's wrong with you? You've been in church all your life, you should know. But they sit back and do nothing but go through the process. That's not what God intended. God intends you to grow and be useful for the kingdom of God. People need to hear it. They need to see it. That's why our testimonies are so important as we mature and become disciples, that we protect our testimony. How many people do you know that strong testimonies have failed? Happens all the time. There was some people last night we were talking about. The pastor failed. The world loves it when pastors fall. It's sin. They tell about how this pastor failed, then they all turned against him. I was like, that's the worst thing that the church could do, is turn against someone that failed. We should lift them up and love them. Minister to them. We're not to criticize them and judge them, point fingers at them and beat them up. No, they need us to rise up, undergird them, to get them back on pace. Sometimes we as the body of Christ can be the worst enemy of the church. I know Pastor Justin, I know him. The battle's on. This is a mean people. But to call yourself a Christian, you shouldn't be mean. should have the what? The fruit of the Spirit. Becoming like Christ. Maturing, growing spiritually. Spiritual growth. I'm not just talking about Bible knowledge. I'm talking about growing and maturing, not marking on the calendar how many days I've been a Christian. I told y'all last week how many times I've been, how many years, how many hours, how many months I've been a Christian. If you go back and do that on your life when the day you got saved, I'm like, oh, I've been a Christian for 56 years. Now I have to look back on those 56 years, and what did I do for the kingdom? What did I do for Jesus? How much time did I waste on things that had no eternal value? When you're old, getting older in your life, you start thinking about them things. Man. And so I tell my family all the time with things. My main thing is I want them to know I love Jesus and that they love Jesus. You could leave your family money, you can leave them whatever. But without Jesus, they have nothing. It's all just temporary. But what they need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What they need is to give their hearts to Christ. What they need is to be heaven bound. That should be our main focus as children of God, that we take as many that we can with us to heaven. Amen? That's our responsibility. My grandkids, I want them in heaven with me. They know it. That's their desire. But I look back on my life, how much time did I waste? And one day, I have to understand that each one of us individually is going to stand before a holy and righteous God. What's he going to say? Someone asked me the other day, was talking about the thing. What's he going to find you doing, Pastor, when he comes back? I'm like, yeah, you got a good point there. Heard that many times. Said it myself. What am I going to be doing when he returns? Or when he decides to take me home? His life is short. Am I making disciples? Am I sharing my faith? Am I loving him with all my heart, mind, soul? Am I loving my neighbors likewise? That's who we are as individuals. That's who we are as a church. We must be about his work. We must grow. One of the most important passages in Scripture you quoted is in Romans 8, 28 and 30. You're familiar. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. How many times have you heard that? For those whom are called according to his purpose. Why does God work all things together for our good? Why? Because God is using everything that happens in your life for a reason. Good, bad, pretty, ugly, whatever. When I went through cancer, surgeries, I'm like, God, this ain't be too good for me. But one thing I learned is that my God was faithful. One thing I knew is my God was with me. The thing I knew, I had the church behind me. I knew from Scripture that he gave me, that equipped me and gave me strength for the day. And through all that stuff, he made me stronger. Didn't like it. But he uses those things for a reason, because he has a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives to grow us to be more like Jesus. It's his goal. We don't understand it all. I don't understand it all. But I know he's faithful. I know that he works these things out for my good. I told my brother the other day, I said, the greatest times of my life is when I was in a crisis and I had to put on my knees and cry to God for help. That's when you really grow. You're dependent upon him, because this world can't do you for, and only Jesus can do it for you. So it's by his power and by his strength, by the Holy Spirit indwelling you, that empowers us to be disciples of Christ, to grow and to mature. And through those times, as we are to take those times and to help others. I've experienced things through cancer that I never experienced before as a pastor and ministered to many people in the hospital for years and never really understood it until that word hit me and smacked me up beside my head. It's a whole different world to me. Now when I see someone going through it, I kind of understand where they're at. It's a monster. No one likes it, but God can help you through it. Been there. Done that. Don't want to go back. But no matter what, I know I'm a child of God and I'm in His hands. We're in His hands. And that's the way He loves us. That's how things work out for His good and His glory. Because in everything that we do and say, everything should bring glory and honor to God. Our lives should be living examples of who He is. See, He's more interested in the development of your character than He is in what you do for work or how much you got in the bank or who you are. He's concerned with you becoming like Jesus, growing, godly character. That's why the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, goodness, kindness, self-control. That's who He wants us to become. Joyful. That's why they call it the fruit of the Spirit. That's His desire for us to grow in godly character, to mature in our faith as disciples of Jesus Christ so we can take that and influence others. We are to be the most influential people in the world because of who we are in Christ and the answer that we have to the sin solution in this world. See, sin leads to what? Death. But Jesus Christ brings life, eternal life, into our lives. That's the good news, that we can change. God wants you to grow. He wants you to become more like Jesus. How are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? How are you going to grow like a Christian? I'm going to tell you. Simple. You heard it. You know it. Turn to Acts chapter 2. You just can't sit back and wait for God. You got to do something. Four basic, simple things you can do that are absolutely essential to growing as a Christian. You've heard them many times. I said, you might even be tired of hearing them. But guess what? I'm going to remind you, and I'll remind you over and over again. The Word of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 is the purest example of what the church is all about. It's back in the first church began. Look at it. Verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord did what? He added to their number day by day. Simple things that the first church did, and it worked. They grew. It's the same thing we are to do in our lives, to put into our lives. It's a great description of the church. What did they do? They devoted themselves to the Bible, to the Word of God, to fellowship, to prayer, and to service. Boom, 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 boom. Four things. That church, and they took full advantage of all these things to help them grow. The Word of God, the first, it is essential, because if we don't have the Word of God and we don't stand upon the Word of God, we have nothing. You got to praise God that you're in a conservative Baptist church where your pastor stands upon the Word of God. It's infallible, it's inerrant. It is God's Word, and it's not ours to mess with. Amen? You can't take nothing out of it, you can't add to it. It's thus saith the Lord. To me, it's easy to settle things. Just say, what did God say? And if he said it, then why are we going to fight about it? Right? And we ought to be students of it. It is trustworthy. It is the guide for life. The Bible teaches about God. It teaches about Jesus. It teaches us about the Holy Spirit. It gives you great wisdom to make the right choices. You are to consult it about everything. God's interested in every part of your life. And you ought to consult him. When I pastored over in Gloucester, some of my deacons and leaders would get mad at me in meetings, but I'm like, we're going to do this. I'm like, no, we're going to pray. We're going to seek God. We're going to seek his word. And when he tells us, then we're going to move. No, we can't wait. And I said, I'm waiting. Because I've learned, if I don't wait, I get bit. I can get you in trouble. But God's better. Amen. His way. And I can tell you, I could stay up here all day and give testimony after testimony of how God worked. Most of our problems, if we would just consult God, would be taken care of. Most of the stuff that we worry about doesn't mean anything. Talk to God about it. This is your guidebook. And it's got to be part of your life if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It helps you battle sin. It helps you with temptation. It brings you closer to God. There's no way you can get closer to God until you get to know him. And he reveals himself, right? Dig in it. It's essential to your growth. Can't grow without it. The second thing was, what did they do? They prayed. Prayer. It's essential to our growth. Prayer is your lifeline to heaven. If the Bible is the fuel for Christian living, then the prayer is the oxygen that fuels it. Man, we get to talk directly to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We get to talk to God 24/7 with an open line. He never hangs up. He's always there for us. And we are to pray and seek. How many of you show up for prayer meeting? You want to grow as a church? You cannot grow without that power of prayer force behind it. You must pray together, corporately and individually in your life, but also for the body of Christ. Two weaknesses of the church, evangelism, prayer. Two things we command it to do. I don't care what church you are. The big failures. And prayer is the power source for the church. Strength. Seeking God. Crying out to God. You see people coming to this altar anymore, getting on their knees, crying out to God for help? You want the presence of the Holy Spirit? Get on your knees and ask for him to show up in a big way, but he's going to do it in your life first. But crying out for the lost? I remember growing up in the church, the altars would be full. Now we hardly even give an altar call. Why do we exist? We exist to win people to Christ, to make disciples. That's why we exist. Who we are. But prayer's got to be essential. It changes things. You know what? Prayer changes you. It changes you when you start talking to God. You got to talk to him. He's your father. He's your dad. And he wants to hear from you. communicate with me. It's a beautiful thing. And you're going to learn more about it. Wow. Third thing was fellowship. We need fellowship. That's essential to your growth. We need each other's encouragement. We need each other's prayers. We need each other to grow. You're not designed to do it alone. We've gotten into this mold with the church doing through the pandemic that everybody says, I can stay home. I got a friend who said, I like staying home in my pajamas, drinking my coffee. Well, that's not the way God designed his church. He loves the church. He died for the church. He created us for fellowship. True Christianity, instead, it takes place in community of the church. You need each other. There's no way you can make up the body without all the individual people, gifts and abilities. If you're going to grow, you need fellowship. You need accountability. Right? And the fourth one is we need service. We need to serve. We need to use those gifts. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11 says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of faith in the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. We're here to equip you. Pastor Justin's here to equip you for the work. We don't like that word, do we? Got to work? No, you should do it with joy and excitement to serve in the body of Christ, to do your part, to serve. Service. We are to serve each other that the body of Christ may be built up, it says, until what? We reach unity in the faith and become mature. Serving each other. Helping one another to grow. He goes on in verse 14. So that we may no longer, what? Be children tossed to and fro by the ways and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. What's happening in our world today? What is part of being the body of Christ? What is the being serving God? Getting equipped, being in the Word of God, praying. It's to help you to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ so you can win victory over this world. We're not defeated. We are victorious. And if you're going to be victorious, you've got to be in the Word. You've got to be on your knees. You've got to be in fellowship with one another. And you got to be serving God. It keeps you accountable. It keeps you where God wants you. It's a blessing doing what God's called you to do. That's the church. That's who we are. Serving. It all has to do with your spiritual growth. You need all four of them to grow. Just like those four purposes of the church. You need that word. You need the Word of God. You need prayer. You need to be a praying church, Warwick Baptist Church. Actually, that probably should be your greatest service. People coming to prayer meeting. Can you imagine the church? I've been all my life, and it's been that area. Well, that's the least. Pray. I pray for your pastor every day. Pray for him on Sundays because I know what he's getting ready to do. The greatest thing I can do for him is to lift him up and to pray and encourage him. be there for him. He needs it. His wife, his family. Hey, let me tell you this, and I know it's over, but you're blessed above, way above than what you ever realize as a church family, that you got a man of God that loves you. He serves this church. They call him bivocational. There ain't no such thing as bivocational. It's full-time. He works a full-time regular job, and he works a full-time job as a pastor of this church. But probably peanuts. But he does it. You know why he does it? Because God called him to do it, and he loves you. And his desire is for you to become disciples of Jesus Christ. His wife serves. Amazing. I know what they go through. That's why Sandy and I love them. I know the time and the hours and the stress and the pressures that they are under to build God's church. But also know God's favor on them, the blessings that God has bestowed upon them. But love on them, cherish them. Right? Thank Him all the time for what you get. But let me tell you, you need to grow. Last week, you got to share your faith. You got to love. Love God. Love your neighbor. And you got to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Four essentials for growing. The Word, prayer, fellowship, and service. If you need to be reminded, go to Acts 2. That's why God began the church like that. First of all, you need to know Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for you to give your heart to Christ and to believe that He died for you. To believe that He came, He loved you so much that He went to that cross to pay your sin debt. And He paid it in full. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. Nothing. He did it because He loved you, and He knew that there was only one way to the Father, and that was through Him and what He did for us. That He paid that debt, shed His blood, remission of your sins, hung on that cross, took every bit of our filth and our dirt, He took it upon Himself and cleared our account for a holy God, that we could have life abundantly and eternally. Went to that tomb, and 3 days later, He was alive. He's alive today. He did it for us. And He says, if you believe in that and ask Him to forgive your sins, He will do it. Believe that He died for you and rose again. You shall be saved. And if you're not saved, it's time to get saved, because the time's coming short. The pastor's going to be standing right here. And if you need Jesus, you come and tell Him. If you need Him to pray for somebody, He'll pray with you. Maybe it's time for you to start serving, growing and maturing in your faith, digging in, cultivating your life and your ministry and your walk and your life. If any of those ingredients are missing in your life, it's a good reason why you're not growing. Because you're missing one of them. God wants you to grow. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for the day. Thank You for each one here. Moving to our midst. Thank You for Your challenging Word. Thank You, God, that You love us. And God, You want us to love one another and serve one another. You want us to be in Your kingdom. You want us to grow and become disciples. Strong, mature disciples, so we can make other disciples. That should bless the discipleship ministry in this church. Each one in a day. Draw the lost to You today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.